But you know what? Much more exciting than anything that those girls could be doing is what's happening right now. I have right in front of me John Connors and Nellie Conroy from Love Hate, a.k.a. Go on.
Kitty.
Yeah.
And Patrick.
From?
From
Love Hate.
Love Hate. Yeah.
It is Love Hate, isn't it?
It's a trick question. Yeah, you see, you guys are so cool and relaxed about this, but do you know, you have to know, what's it been like, the frenzy that is around the show, that every week it's growing, and we cannot wait to see what's happening. It's the only real appointment of you cannot miss TV show at the moment. Do you agree?
Oh yeah, very much.
Absolutely.
So come on, Nellie, tell us, what sort of a reaction have you been getting? I mean, can
after the fourth episode now, big reaction. People are loving it. They're very nice about it. And they love it. Yeah, and they love Patrick.
Yeah, Patrick. Come here. Now, listen, John, I've met you a couple of times before. You're such a shy guy.
Oh, he's not.
Not all. It was shy.
So retiring,
I'm
quiet.
I'm not really shy.
Not at all shy.
In these type of scenarios, a little bit more. Just not used to it. I have to get used to this kind of stuff. You know?
Listen, Nelly, he's been all humble. When he was around, when we were doing there was the launch of RT1, the launch of Love Hate, and John had all the girls. There was a bit of a twinkle. It's a big cheeky grin on him, isn't it?
Yeah.
Is he like that on set?
No, do you know what it was? It was such a tedious day, and it was just interview after interview, and it was just these beautiful women interviewing me. So I just started to tell them how beautiful they were, and the interviews turned really interesting. So
that would do it. All
right, it was a bit of fun, you know.
Is he like that? Was he like that on set?
Not with me, no. And he's very nice. He helped me with the voice and all. The accent and all, so
she played an absolute stormer. My family's convinced that she's a traveller. and I said, honestly, she's not a traveller, honestly. And they said, well, what's her name? Nellie Conroy. Ah, she is a traveller. You stop. If ever there was a traveller name, that's it. You know?
So Nellie, that's some compliment.
It really is, yeah. It was great because I went down to John's aunt a few weeks before and spent time with her and recorded her and all, so it was great.
Good girl.
Because I only live up the road from John anyway.
Yeah.
So it was great. They were all so nice. I had Ennis Gorthy, Tom, and everything helped me, and they were saying, no, that's wrong now, and give me acting advice and everything.
Where is that? Is Ennis Gorthy where you're living?
No, that's where Ennis Gorthy, Tom lives.
Yeah, there was an actor on set.
That was his name, Ennis Gorthy, Tom.
See, there were so many Toms on set, so we had to give him a name. So Caffo, the director, gave him Ennis Gorthy, Tom.
David Caffrey, isn't he a great guy?
He's brilliant.
Lovely. He loves you all and you all love him. He's a great guy, good guy. But guys, bring it back right to Sunday night, because good Lord, what you did to us. Counselling is what we need every Sunday at 10:30. Yeah. I want a counsellor to come out of the telly.
Some people are getting post-traumatic stress over it.
Honestly, because I don't know, because you're up really early morning. I don't know what time you get to sleep by the end of it, but it is amazing. And of course, what happened is, when you look at it, I was calling you Paddy the Bomber. I was thinking that might catch on, but it is a case, in all seriousness, the action that happened on Sunday night for both of you. I mean, first of all, we had the graveside scene where you had there at your two-year-old Damien, wasn't it? Damien Ward.
We're not married in it.
No, that's right. But Damien, exactly. And Damien Ward, and you had him at the graveside, and you went to the grave and you were heartbroken, and you're constantly looking out for him. Even though you're a brother and sister, you've got a mammy thing going on, looking out for him, the big sister thing, which is lovely. And then no wonder then with what happened with your other son, with Brandon, that anger, because the grief is still there, and that anger, do you think that's what pushed him to be so violent in the end, to pack it?
Well, absolutely. I think, I think a lot of us can relate to that. You know, when you lose somebody close to you, you have that fear of losing another person, you know, and then to top it all off, losing a son and then almost losing another son drove him over the edge, you know, and we see it in the last scene, because I mean, the thing I love about you know, the way it was handled, particularly the last scene, is that it was done in a real way. Stuart wanted it done in a real way, and I wanted it to be done in a real way, not a cool way. I wanted it to be a big deal for this character to take a life. Not for it to be just cold-blooded sociopath take a life, but it's a big deal. Mm-hmm. And in the end, he's almost explaining to the character, and thinking out loud, but explaining to him, I have no choice, you left me with no choice, because really he doesn't want to do it, you know. But also there's that side of him that I believe we all have, you know, is that this fella put a bullet in my son's head, and I'm nearly at the, you know, I'm nearly at the lose my other son, so you're going to hell, you know what I mean. So there's also that side of it, you know.
And Patrick, was that all on the paper? Was that Stuart Carlin?
Well, we talked, from the start, when Stuart started writing it, me and him would talk for hours and hours on the phone, and I would just give him input. and stuff, you know, stuff I was thinking, also stuff with authenticity and stuff like that. And as he was writing that scene, he gave me a phone call and I gave him a bit of feedback on it, and we were just both adamant that we wanted it to be done in that sort of real way, you know what I mean, because it can easily be a sort of a cool, you know, true romance type of scene, you know, and we didn't want it to be like that. We wanted it to be more reality and showing how dark and death is, you know, and how hard it is to actually take a life.
And exactly, and I think as well, Nelly, when you look at that, it was so authentic for you as well coming in. You have Patrick there, or you have John there to ask advice off in terms of authenticity. So, you know, with your role, where do you look for inspiration on that? I mean, obviously you're both trained actresses, and John, you're trained in the Abbey. So what do you look for, Nelly, given all your experience for this role?
I suppose you just try and put yourself in that woman's shoes, really. That's what I always do. I try and see her point of view, and as a woman, you know.
And what you do is you keep it really real, because obviously she adores the bones of him, right? But then there's this, and knows that he's a good man. I mean, that's why it's so well written. This is in the death, murder, you name it, is happening here. And yet we understand these different characters. And for women in this, do you think that it's written very well?
Kitty?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah, I think Kitty's a good, strong woman.
Because I'm sure he's writing. You've got these big female roles in it. I mean, she is the key traveller woman in this.
The only one that challenges Patrick from his side, because he's the leader of his family.
That's it. Yeah.
And she constantly challenges him.
Yeah.
And he respects that.
We see it in her eyes. When she broke and fell to her knees with Brandon, we were the mum. We were straight there. Even though you're the auntie there, we were straight in that scene going, a woman is right in the heart of it. You're the one, yes, running off to get the ambulance. But then when you're in the back of the ambulance, the three of you sitting there, and then you've got prayers being said over him at the time. So very strong female roles in Love Hate. Who else do you, Kitty, Nelly, when you're looking at, who else do you look at, the female characters, do you think work really well?
In Love Hate?
Yeah.
Oh, God. I think Siobhan has loads to do.
Brilliant.
This season. It's great. And I think there's always more for women to do in Love Hate, to be honest, because it's very male. Yeah. I think women... they could do it a few more.
Yeah,
but, I shouldn't say that, but
Nelly,
you could have a few mothers and stuff in it, you know.
So,
but anyway, it's a great program, of course. But Kitty was a lovely, strong female.
I think Trish,
I'd love to see her more. Like,
Send a little post-its up after this to Stuart Carlin so that he can expand maybe some of the female roles.
Well, I'm all up for women. I think women should have much more to do. They're much more interesting, really.
Yeah, I think. I do hear that.
But they are very interesting, you know. There's a lot of depth.
I'm more interested in women than men anyway. Just to put that on the record.
Stop saying that. Giving yourself an awful reputation.
I was waiting for that to come in. But John, when you look at the scene as well, with the grieving scene, and the way that the travellers were looking after grieving the death of your youngest son, was that very realistic? Do you think that was done well in the show?
Well, I mean, it couldn't be any more realistic. It was about four or five graves up from my father's grave and my uncle's grave, you know. So
where they filmed was literally, wow.
Yeah, it was only a few graves away, so it was easy to get into that headspace, you know. And I mean, the way it was done with the family coming in at the start and that type of thing, it was done to perfection. And that's all Stuart was interested in, getting it right. That was the main thing, getting it right, getting the tiny little details. Everything had to be right, you know what I mean? Because you didn't want anything to stand out, you know?
And it wasn't just that, because I think you had a few family members who were in there, were you? Did you have a few family members on set?
Oh, yeah. And a good few, yeah. A good few as extras and special extras and stuff. And, you know, to be honest, the whole shoot was the most intense shoot I've ever done to date, you know? It was non-stop, but... you know, the great thing was I had like about 10, 12 cousins at all times around me, and you know, we'd just be playing games, having fun, and I'd be getting them to audition on the spot for the next line that's up for grabs, and like there'd be no line at all, but I'd just be getting the crack going, you know. And we'd be squashing about, like, because they'd be extras, so they wouldn't have a trailer, so I'd squash about 12 of them in my trailer, we're all eating together, and I'd have to run them out and everything to learn me lines and all. But
you never got a minute,
I had to just get stern with them and say, get out, you know, give me 10 minutes, that's all I want.
What do they think of the show?
What do they think? Oh, they love it. They're ringing me up and, you know, Facebooking me and all that, and saying it's mad, like, we're looking at it and we didn't think it'd be like that, and, you know, not understanding the way, you know, it turns out, you know, the final product, are very happy with it anyway.
And also, Nelly, amongst your acting community as well, what do they think of it? I mean, I know you're honestly making that point there for yourself about the female characters, but how do they view it? How's it viewed amongst your peers?
Love Hate.
Yes.
Oh, it's the show to be in, really, isn't it?
Yeah, big time.
The best show on telly.
So when you got, how did it happen that you got the role?
For me, I auditioned for Love Hate twice. The first time, the first series, and then for a smaller part in the fourth. And then for this one, Stuart said, I'm looking for something for you in it for the fourth one, and nothing happened, so I was a bit raging. And then I tried to contact him, and then John left the cat out of the bag. Didn't you Facebook me?
Yeah, because I thought me and Stuart talked about it, and I thought that he said he was going to tell her. So I said, oh, brilliant, well done, looking forward to work with you. What are you talking about? Oops.
Do you know what?
Well, Stuart's going to get in touch with you, so it's all I can say.
Actually, now that we have you and you're getting a few secrets out of the bag, so what's going to happen next for Patrick?
What is going to happen next for Patrick?
I'm only messing.
I got a bang in the head and I got amnesia, so I can't remember anything.
Imagine it, we did, just let it all. Because I was working on it, I was looking to work behind the scenes.
I think I'd be decapitated, to be honest with you.
And working behind the scenes for the DVD, and we had to sign a non-disclosure. So I knew what was going to happen last season. This season, I haven't got a clue. That's what I'm saying. Paulie.
You're better off.
You're much better off.
I knew about Paulie and I didn't tell anyone.
Well done. Because Nelly, who was in here? Do you know who was in here this morning? Lawrence Kinlan was in, and he was on with Owen McDermott this morning at Breakfast Republic. And I think somebody called him, because obviously it's Elmo, but I think somebody called him Nemo.
Finding Nemo.
Yeah, it couldn't be any more different. But he made a point recently in the papers that every spoiler, because remember your character when we had Patrick shot down in the front of the papers and everyone thought, oh my God, this is it. Best thing that could have happened.
Yeah, of course.
True us.
Same with Paulie.
Same with Paulie. Yeah. And also same last two seasons ago with Robert Sheehan.
Yeah.
So it's actually, the more they get it wrong, they're just making us love the fact that we do not know what's going to happen. Now, when did you hear about what was going to happen with Paulie? Because absolutely that was the biggest shocker to date, I think.
At the start, when Stuart was just still writing and not finished, he was, you know, we'd meet up and he'd bring all the scripts and we'd go through them together, because for my storyline. So I found out very early on, as was, you know, and I just kept my mouth shut and letting on. I knew not.
Right, and Nelly?
Me, I had to beg for my lines, basically. I wasn't allowed to even have a script. It was ridiculous.
How
am I supposed to know what I'm playing here? Yeah. And then we friend the second AD, and she smuggled me fourth episode, because that was a lot of the travelling stuff.
I was about to say, that's not Adrian, is it? But we won't mention any names. Okay, you didn't blink. That's her. No,
I haven't a clue. And I'm glad, because I enjoy sitting down and watching it on Sunday.
Of course,
no
you
one's
do.
Allowed to speak.
Are you guys, where do you go? Because some people were pictured up in a spot up in house on Leeson Street all together watching it. What would you prefer, to be with your families? Because I'd say if it was me and I was in it and I wasn't with my family, they'd kill me if I was watching it, not without them.
I kind of, my dad and my brother kind of say, will we come around? I say, no. And then they came around, and my friend Brona came around last Sunday, and it was a bit intense, but I was happy with how it went. So I wasn't cringing or anything, because sometimes you cringe at yourself.
Well, hardly, because you're brilliant.
And if they talk or have crisps around, I say, shut up.
It's awkward though.
Have more wine now.
Watching with your family, I think that's even the sex scenes and all that. My mother watching with my mother and all. Jesus Christ. So the first episode, I just basically got, I ordered a spice bag and a bottle of wine, and I sat down by myself and I had great crack, and the same for the second, and it was like a little ritual, and then my family just had to fucking my family just had to spoil it all for me, and it was an awkward
John
sex
Cotters,
scene
John Cotters, say sorry to everybody.
Feckin, that was, you're not saying feckin, aren't you? But yeah, so my mother had to come in and spoil it all, and we got to watch a great sex scenes together, which was not cool.
Oh, you did say that.
But what's your sex scene?
No, thank God.
Yeah, I was thinking, hang on, did I miss that?
Yeah.
John Connor's 24 from Coolock having a sexy scene on the telly.
I'm not ready for that yet.
you're building up to it, aren't you?
I don't think anybody wants to see me.
Those beautiful women.
Yeah.
Absolutely, Nelly. But Nelly, we won't get into the naming and shaming your age, but still, you're only a young one.
I'm very young.
It is. Listen, what do you think it is? You know, we've only got how many episodes left? We've got two only left at this stage. Somebody's after texting to say he's definitely the nicest pipe bomber maker I know. I don't know how.
If you only really knew me.
I don't know how PC it is to say that. But yeah, so listen, after this, it is, you know, Stuart Carlin was saying at the IFTA Awards that this is the best season yet. So far, you've seen them all. Do you agree?
Oh, I think so. I think it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's because of me and Nelly, you know?
Because
of me and Nelly.
Yeah.
No, I really do. I think it's the best. And I think, you know, I think that the whole storyline, the way the travellers are brought in, it's such a delicate subject because it's been done before and it's been ruined, you know. And it can be done in a very horrible way, and then it can be done in a very patronising way. And it was just done in a very real way, you know. And I'm just proud to be a part of it.
Brilliant.
Know?
And you're absolutely brilliant in it, both of you. Sure. Two episodes left. Is the best yet to come?
Definitely.
No idea.
Well, we'll have to find out Sunday night, RT1, 9:30. No idea, Nelly, because you still don't know. You'll be watching it with the rest of us.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you so much, guys, for coming in. Can't wait
Thank
to see
you.
It. Take care.